This is Wake Up Call.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On the Sportsnap Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. Home loans that fit your life. Rocket Can.
And Real Ketones Keto Energy Shots.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Glad you could be with us here on Wake Up Call Sports Map Radio. Coming up this hour, the good, the bad, and the dumb. You don't want to miss that. And then Dave Preston from WTOP will join us in D.C. One of my longtime radio friends will join us to talk about John Thompson and his passing yesterday. Not only what it means to D.C., but college basketball as well. Dave went to Syracuse in the 80s, and so we'll talk about that rivalry as well. That's coming up this hour. Okay, look, I'm about to break a cardinal rule of radio, which is, well, sports radio in particular, which is nobody really cares about your fantasy football team as a host. I don't like talking about my fantasy football team. I don't really think you're interested in my fantasy football team. But we have one going on at the network. Tonight is the draft. Ron can't make it. He's got a baseball game with his kid. But fatherly duties, I guess, are going to prevail than your draft from our league. But nevertheless, here's why I'm bringing this up. It kind of hit me yesterday because I was doing – I'm not good at fantasy football at all. It's funny because I cover the league. I follow the league intensely. I read up everything I can on the league during the season. But the little nuances that you need to know and evaluate a player in terms of his fantasy value, I'm just not good at that. I just haven't been over the years. So I'm doing a little research yesterday. And this kind of feeling hits me – every now and then when I deal with the NFL, is that I'm doing this little research and I go, this is good. This is really good. I'm preparing for fantasy football when I didn't know if we were going to do this. I didn't know if we were going to play. I didn't know what the season was going to look like. I remember the doom and gloom of people as this virus started to not go away in June and not go away in early July. And we were wondering what this was going to mean for college football and the NFL. And I'm putting together a cheat sheet fantasy football. Many of you are doing the exact same thing. If you stop and think about it just for a second, how good that is to know that in a week and 2 days, we will have a game. Kansas City and Houston will have a game. In front of how many people? I don't know. What are the teams going to look like without preseason games? I don't care. But next Thursday, we're starting the season. And tonight, I'm going to be in fantasy football mode, and that's the only thing I'm going to be thinking about. And that is a great feeling. Good, the bad, and the dumb coming up next as we continue along on Sports Map Radio.
You're listening to the Sports Map Radio Network, broadcasting safely with our masks from Boomer Naturals.
Order now at boomernaturals.com. Use promo code SportsMapRadio for 20% off.
Wake Up Call continues now on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Time for the good.
That's really nice.
The bad.
That's the bad guy.
And the dumb.
What an idiot. Oh, what a loser.
Brought to you by Real Ketones Keto Energy Shots. Sustained energy without the sugar, jitters, or crash. Here's Tony D and Ron Culver.
All right, it is the good, the bad, and the dumb Tuesday edition as we continue along this week on Wake Up Call. You know, I've been feeling pretty good, as I said at the top of the hour, fantasy draft tonight, feeling the NFL coming. Already got college football going along, so I'm feeling good, but I could feel better. So what is the good of the day?
Oh, you and I need to give a big congratulations to Manti Te'o.
Manti Te'o, what has he done?
He got married to a real person over the weekend.
A real person? Flesh and blood?
Yes.
That's amazing.
Photos to prove that he actually, you know, he's donned in like a traditional Hawaiian way to get married, just white pants and a shirt with a lei, and she's in a dress and they're on the beach.
Meanwhile, invisible girlfriend in the distance.
Yeah, she was the maid of honor.
Right? Now she, or did,
oh, no, that's right.
Did the invisible girlfriend die?
Yeah, that's right. She did die.
That's right. Congratulations, Manti Te'o.
God,
that's great.
I really just brought that up because... Is that still one of the strangest sports stories?
It's one of the strangest sports stories
ever.
Like, can I just tell you, at the time, I had to have it explained to me.
Yeah.
By the producer I was working with at the time, because I kept going, tell me more about, what is this? Why would he do this? Why was he doing this? what is the purpose of this? What was he trying to, like, I didn't get it, right? Like, I just did not get it.
I mean, it's the equivalent of saying that, you know, you're at summer camp and you're telling all your camp buddies that your girlfriend is a model in Canada.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
And,
yeah,
you know, you have pictures to prove that she, and I guess handwritten letters.
Yeah, he went all out with this. It's one thing to say, I was dating a girl that died of cancer, right? Or whatever she was dying
from. No, remember, he didn't know. He got catfished, too.
Right.
Or maybe he wasn't on it. I don't know.
I don't remember.
The whole thing is confusing. But
he just got attached to this invisible imaginary girlfriend. But now that doesn't matter because now he has a real wife.
Yeah, he has a real wife who he can hold in his arms. He can kiss her. They can make babies together.
That's great.
They're going to live the real marriage life, the real marriage dream.
He was my vote for the Heisman Trophy in 2012.
Of course he was.
I wanted Johnny Manziel, who ended up winning, but I liked Manti Te'o the best. I wanted to see a defensive player win.
I think we all do, don't we?
Yeah.
Now we just kind of root against whoever
so
the quarterback
really
or running back is.
I was really pulling for him. Yeah, I was really pulling for him. Plus, at the time, I was like, Johnny Manziel will win again. He'll win another one. He's got, you know.
He has a long career ahead of him.
He has a long career.
We don't know about linebackers from Notre Dame.
So I was like, Manti Te'o. Good for him. He got married.
He got married. And you can Google it. You can see photos. And
it's real.
It's real. I'm telling you, folks. Just it's a real woman this time.
Did his best man, do you think he made a joke about it at this reception?
I hope so. I wish there was video. But wasn't it like his cousin or something that started the whole thing?
I think so, yeah. That sounds familiar.
Like, it was something really bizarre.
I have to refresh myself on the story, but I think that sounds familiar.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good for him.
Strange story.
All right, what's the bad of the day?
It's probably the worst video I've ever seen on the planet.
Which is?
And I'm not talking about that 3-year-old Taiwan girl.
Oh, yeah.
That one's pretty scary.
Yeah.
Last week, I don't know if you saw this video, but last week I talked about a 4 or 5-year-old who was floating on a unicorn about a mile out to sea.
That was scary.
Yeah,
the ocean is no joke, man.
No,
whether you're on an inflatable unicorn or not.
Yeah, that one was pretty terrifying. But this one takes the cake. This one trumps all of them. A Russian woman had a 4-foot snake. Removed from her throat.
No.
After it had slithered in there during a camping trip. Now, this is pure nightmare. Because I know I've woken up sometimes in the middle of the night. I'm like, oh, man, my mouth is dry. So I know I've been sleeping with my mouth open.
Yeah.
We all have. We've all felt that way.
Oh, this is terrifying.
Can you imagine? And there's video of the doctor, like, sucking this thing out. The nurse is there. And the doctor just kind of hands the tube and the snake over to the nurse. The nurse is like, hell no, here's a bucket. Put it in there. I'm not touching that thing. I couldn't tell because the video ends really quick, but the snake might have still been alive.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
But then again, it might be like, hey, I don't need a lot of, you know.
But I mean,
a lot of space to breathe.
How do you not know?
Well, here's what. So did she wake up? I can't breathe. I'm having a hard time breathing. He goes, let's take her in.
My stomach feel like something's slithering in my stomach.
Yeah, something's in my.
There are so many questions I have that have gone unanswered.
Like if you wrote that in a horror movie, the producer might go, I don't think that's not
right.
That's a little too much.
That's that's far fetched.
Snake in the mouth and the throat. That's a little. No, do something else with the snake, but not slither it in the mouth. No,
let's
we're not
just
doing
do, you know, the snake wrapped around the leg. That's fine.
That's better. But snake in the throat, nah, let's not put that in the B movie that we're making. And it's real. That's incredible.
4 feet.
4 feet. I mean, that's, you know.
Yeah. You can
change,
hear
man.
Yeah, the doctor in the thing, you know, he goes like, yeah, let's see what this is.
Oh, good God.
And as he's sucking it out. I mean, how do you know? There's like she brushing her teeth one day and all of a sudden like a head pops up like
it just
hey.
Pops up in the mouth. Now, what if he said to her, there's nothing I can do here? Like, what if he said, I don't have the technology. This is something you have to live with. So give it a name. You're just going to occupy some space together.
Yeah, I mean, do you
becomes your new pet. Maybe it'll slither its way out in the middle of the night. Let's hope. But I have no technology to get that snake out.
Yeah, no, it's
And if that happened to the Russian woman, how often does it happen in the world?
Exactly. That's what I'm talking about.
How often does it happen in places that don't have video where we could see it?
We've all heard stories of, hey, a spider has crawled, you know, it's like a weird stat, like, oh, in your lifetime, you'll have had, like, you've eaten, like, 300 or swallowed 300 spiders or something like that.
Oh, God, I know.
You know, something bizarre, and you're like, all right, you know, it's a spider. Yeah, whatever.
Rather tasty.
I mean, a snake?
That's awful.
Now, a lot of people are also looking at it and go, no, it's just a really long worm. But you look at it, I'm like, oh, I've never seen, like, a tapeworm look
I'm
like this. It has a snake head.
I'm not messing with that.
It's amazing to me, but I just don't. I mean, again, I just don't get how. I mean, I get why the snake went in there.
Yeah,
you know, cave like it's like, oh, let's go check this out. But how do you not know? How do you not feel like? I mean, at some point, like when it's slithering down your throat, like past that thing that hangs in the back of the uvula or whatever it's called. You know, the thing that hangs.
Listen to you, Dr. Ron.
I think it's called uvula. I'm waiting for Michael to correct me a little bit. But I mean, won't that cause like a gag reflex?
That's what I'm thinking.
Like, once you start coughing and the snake would want to move, or the snake's like, you know, challenge.
Yeah.
And just keep going. I don't know. This is bizarre to me.
That's nuts.
I don't know how you can do it.
What's the dumb of the day then?
The dumb of the day is this woman who was bragging. She pulled out a shoebox. It's a TikTok video. Which I'm surprised TikTok videos are still around. I thought they were banned. But anyways, she pulls out a box and she goes, do you want to see my hamburger? I'm assuming she's talking to like her daughter or something like that who's filming. And so she pulls out a McDonald's. She's kept a McDonald's meal in this box. And she pulls out the French fries. And the French fries, you know, she even describes the French fries as being, oh, they look like they've, you know, these are the type of fries that have been in your car for a couple of days.
Yeah.
And then she pulls out the hamburger, and she's showing off the hamburger, how it's still in the original wrapper. The bun is still intact, never molded. The burger itself looks edible.
Okay.
It doesn't have any mold on it. This meal is 24 years old.
What?
Now, this is not what makes it dumb. What makes it dumb is that you've kept it for this long. I don't know, you're doing a science
what
experiment.
What did she do with it? How did she keep it from... That's
right?
Natural. It's just going to... Isn't it all going to just fall apart?
No, it doesn't.
Unless it's loaded with chemicals and prevent
it
from happening.
But here's where the dumb comes in. Do you really think that video is ever going to deter anyone from stopping
at
the Golden Arches?
Not at all. It never does.
No, we know it's not healthy.
That's the thing, people. Remember when Morgan Spurlock made that movie?
Yes.
Like Super Size Me? And it was
Super Size Me?
Yeah, like he's, you know,
everyone's going to change.
No, McDonald's is going to shut down. Yeah, McDonald's is going to shut
down. More popular, if anything.
Absolutely. No, you're right. You nailed it right on the head. We have reached a point where we know that stuff is like nobody goes in there thinking they're getting a healthy meal. They know what they're getting and they're okay with getting it.
Yep.
So, yes, you can break down a burger chemically and say, look at all of these big words with 16 letters. Look at all these things that are not supposed to be in there. We don't care.
Yeah,
we never do.
You can come forward and say, yeah, this burger is really only 30% beef.
That's right.
It still has the taste I'm looking for. It has two things going for it. It's convenient and it's cheap.
That's exactly right. And again, they don't, you know. You know, they never pretend to be what they're not, right?
They never say,
it's a well-balanced, they go, look, we're burgers and fries company. You want burgers and fries, come here. I know there's a lot of other places where you can get this, but this is what we do. Come and get it.
In fact, every single time they try to be healthy, we get mad at them for it.
We get mad at them for it, yeah.
You know, I mean, we talked about it a couple weeks ago, you know, with Jason Alexander doing that, the hot and cold or whatever. I can't remember what the name of the burger was, where you got the hot stays hot and the cold stays cold.
Right.
You know, and that failed because, like, we don't care.
Just
throw it in a bag. We'll figure it out later.
Salads. They've done everything.
I think they still have
parfaits.
Salads. Anyone ever buy a salad? Parfait?
No. Man, nobody goes. We go in there.
Burger, fries, every once in a while. Maybe you want to get a chicken nugget.
The other day I drove past one and I was like, I want one of those cheap dollar sundaes, those hot fudge
sundaes.
Oh. Fantastic.
Yeah, the only thing you have to worry about is their ice cream machine
work?
Which, by the way, it's not that it's broken. Their ice cream machine is never broken.
What? Then what's the...
It's because they don't clean it.
Oh, gotcha. Okay.
And so
they're probably not serving it because they haven't cleaned it.
Gotcha. That makes sense. All right. Well, that is the good, the bad, and the dumb as we continue along on Wake Up Call. And again, it is brought to you by Ketone's Keto Energy Shots. They give you sustained energy without sugars, jitters, or crash. When I need to stay up late, when I need to get things done, I grab a Keto Energy Shot. It's fantastic. It's a 5-star review from me, and it constantly gets 5-star reviews from people who take it. The secret is the all-natural ingredient DBHB. It's the powerful ingredient that revs up your metabolism, turns your body into a fat-burning machine in only minutes. You can feel energized while shedding unwanted pounds. Again, without the sugar, jitters, or crash, it's real ketones, keto energy shots. And that is the good, the bad, and the dumb as we continue. Dave Preston coming up in 15 minutes. We'll talk John Thompson with him from the DC perspective as we continue along with Wake Up Call.
This is Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, glad you could join us. It is Wake Up Call on Sports Map Radio. Superstart batteries exclusively at O'Reilly Auto Parts are designed to meet the electrical demands of today's vehicles. Get dependable power and performance from a Superstart battery for your car, truck, motorcycle, lawnmower, boat, and more. Visit O'Reilly Auto Parts today, and the professional parts people can help you find just the right battery for your vehicle. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts or visit O'ReillyAuto.com. O'Reilly Auto Parts, better parts, better prices every day. Again, Dave Preston, WTOP, will talk John Thompson. But you know who else passed away just before John Thompson? Lute Olson, the former head coach at Arizona, who was a big college basketball coach.
Was that Friday or Saturday?
Yeah, that happened I think over the weekend, right?
Yeah.
I think maybe Friday. Yeah. He won the 1997 national championship with Miles Simon. They disrupted the three-peat of the Kentucky Wildcats, beating Kentucky in the finals.
That's right. That's one of those where he said, hey,
Mike Bibby and
place your bets. Wildcats are going to win.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. I always liked Lute Olson. I wasn't an Arizona fan, but I really liked Lute Olson. It was a good team. That was a fun team in 97. But everybody was all Kentucky crazy because we had Rick Pitino and then Tubby Smith later. But Arizona got that one in the middle. So we'll talk about some John Thompson coming up in just a couple of minutes. So I was saying how the San Diego Padres are now the winners of the trade deadline. And it did get me thinking as I was looking that up. You're a Dodger fan, but you became a Charger fan. Were you ever going to be a Padres fan growing
No,
up?
And this is how I always explain being a Padre fan. Okay. I do like the Padres. Don't get me wrong. When you live in a city for 12 years, you can't help but kind of have feelings towards that team.
Absolutely. I say this all the time about my affiliation with the Denver team. I didn't grow up in Denver.
Right.
But I love the Denver teams. I spent over a decade there.
You know, I mean, you covered them. It's like, for me, that's all we ever talked about was the Padres. You know, I went to more Padre games than I went to Dodger games during that 12-year period, obviously, because I lived in San Diego. And Padre games were cheap to go to.
Sure.
Now, here's the thing. It was okay. I felt okay being a Padre fan because they never amounted to anything.
Right. Good point.
You know, they had that cup of coffee, what was it, like 98? When they went to the World Series?
They did go to the World Series in 98.
Was it 98? And they got swept?
Yeah, they were in this one-game playoff with the Rockies in 2007.
Yeah.
That
didn't count.
That doesn't count. You didn't get in.
You know, but I mean, that's honestly how it was like, you know, yeah, I can root for the Padres. I mean, you know, cool team, San Diego. Never really had anyone. Tony Gwynn was their greatest player ever. And, you know, I mean, I was a huge Trevor Hoffman fan as well.
Yeah, I love Trevor Hoffman.
But I felt all right. Now I'm looking at it. I'm like, okay. You know, I mean, the Dodgers still have a couple games lead on you, but why did you shop like you were? You just got dad's credit card and we're maxing it out.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. I'm really interested to see how this goes. Look, there was, when we talked about the expansion of the playoffs for this season, I said, look, it could take some of the drama out of the races that are occurring, but you could still see like a team like, okay, I may not win the division, but I'm good enough going down the stretch to be very threatening. Right. I mean, that's the way I'm kind of seeing the Padres. I don't know if they'll catch the Dodgers. I think the Dodgers are still too good of a team, but I wouldn't want to play San Diego in any type of series at all, whether it's a one game get in thing or a best of seven.
No,
I wouldn't want to play San Diego.
Before they added this hall, they've been a good ball club.
Yeah, you're right.
You know,
now they got this hall.
They got the nickname Slam Diego because it seems like if bases are loaded, Padres are going to hit us, hit a grand slam. That's what they do. And I mean, it doesn't matter what the pitch count is. Obviously, we know that.
Yeah, it does. You're absolutely right. I mean, it's they can hit. I mean, they're hitting home runs. I mean, it's been a fun team to watch. I mean, Colorado. They just took three of four from the Rockies. Who I know the Rockies have had some struggles, but that's still a good team. And they went to Denver and took 3 of 4.
Yeah, that's tough to do.
It's tough to do. I mean, in altitude and all of that. And they just took 3 of 4. They shut them out. They shut them out. To shut out the Rockies at Coors Field doesn't happen very often. That place is just built to score runs. And so that's a threatening team. But you're right. The Dodgers stood pat. The Yankees stood pat. The Braves didn't do anything. I mean, these are teams that are heading towards the playoffs. I know the Yankees are in second in the AL East, but they're going to go. The Braves lead their division. The Dodgers lead their division. None of them felt like the need to really do anything. I do think, look, that is one of the things that is going to occur in a 60-game and we're expanding the postseason. Like, if you're the Yankees and you go, okay, look, I'm getting into the playoffs and I have a pretty good team. When healthy, I have a very good team. Am I willing to give up talent or prospects to get it done this year? Or do I just want to roll the dice with what I have because the playoffs are wide open? I mean, most of us who are good are going, and I want to keep my prospects for when things are back to the way they were, when I'm doing the long haul 162 games and I really do need an extra mid-relief guy or an extra starter or whatever it is they may need. The Braves, for example, like I said earlier, they need a starting pitcher. I mean, Mike Soroka went down. Cole Hamels isn't down. They can't rely on Max Fried forever. But they were not going to make a move to get Mike Clevinger from Cleveland without, thinking, well, maybe we can hold off and we'll be fine. I don't know. I mean, is that what the thinking is with the Atlanta Braves? San Diego took no such problem because their general manager, A.J. Preller, was very quick to go, I can get all of these guys from teams that are trying to get rid of these guys, and I won't give up my talent pool. So, one, you can't criticize me for not doing anything. And two, you can't criticize me for doing something and getting rid of the future. Because I did neither one of them. I did both. I got us talent, and I kept my future. That's brilliant.
The other thing that we kind of learned from the trade deadline, Padres were doing everything they could to become the best team in baseball.
That's right.
The Indians, are they in rebuild mode?
I don't know. That's a great question.
Because, I mean, you think about the pitchers that they had on their team that they no longer have?
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, Corey Kluber. They just got rid of Mike Clevinger. Well, who's the other guy?
Trevor Bauer. Yep, he's now with the Reds.
No, I know. It was just, I mean, it's been a fire sale for them. They're just unloading all this great talent. What they kind of remind me of now is the Detroit Tigers, when the Tigers had Max Scherzer,
Justin Verlander.
And I always forget the third one. Annabelle Sanchez? No.
Yep. Well, I mean, you're right. It comes back to the Tigers.
No,
to
David
the
Price.
David
that
Price.
Was the, that was the third one I was thinking of. So I guess Cleveland's done trying to make a run for it.
Yeah, it's
time to time to go back to Major League.
This baseball season is it feels weird. It doesn't feel right, but at the same time, like I've been saying, I give them all the credit in the world. They've handled the coronavirus when it occurs pretty effectively. Yeah, again, their teams are trying to play catch up with these games. I mean, the Yankees and the Mets had a whole series wiped out. They played a couple of doubleheaders over the weekend to make up those games, but every night you go to the scoreboard and all these games are in the books, moving along. We're 1 month into this thing, a little over 1 month into this thing. We're heading down to the stretch, and baseball still figured out a way to do this. I don't know when the book is written on 2020 as far as the sports world goes, and I know there will be books written. I wonder if people will look back and say, "Boy, that group they not overreacted." That's a bad word because you don't know what. We're really reacting to the virus in real time rather than in hindsight. But I wonder how many people will look back and say, boy, they blew up all of this stuff, and yet they found a way to manage it, whether it's in a bubble or out of a bubble, especially if we go through 17 weeks of the NFL and have a Super Bowl. We'll see. All right, Dave Preston on the influence and the legacy of John Thompson, who passed away yesterday at the age of 78. From Washington, D.C., we go next on Sports Map Radio.
listening to Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. Home loans that fit your life. Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
As I said earlier today, yesterday, as we were getting ready to do the show and we started along, we got the news that John Thompson passed away. And I really wanted to give it its due because I think he's one of the more influential sports figures in America. And in the middle of the show, it was hard to do yesterday, but that's why I asked Dave Preston from WTOP in Washington to come on, because he's not only an influential figure in college basketball, but locally in the D.C. area. We go to the Progressive guest line. Progressive making it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. Get your quote at progressive.com today. How are you, my friend?
I'm doing well, Tony. Happy September. Can you believe summer's almost done?
I know. You're right.
Really started.
John Thompson was not a guy that was from Memphis or Seattle. He was a D.C. guy coaching a D.C. school. In terms of his impact and how people are feeling about that today, how are people feeling about John Thompson?
I think everyone, Tony, is remembering his excellence on the court, his excellence off the court, his passion and his vision as someone who was focused and someone who really tried to make the world better than him and tried to make the world a little bit more incredible as opposed to somebody who just tried to basically, you know, get along and go along. He was very good friends with Bill Russell. They played together with the Boston Celtics.
Yep.
They won a pair of NBA championships together. He was his backup. And I think the two were kindred spirits. You look at what John Thompson accomplished as a player from Washington, D.C., as he was a star in the area. And then he played on an NIT championship team at Providence. So when the NIT was actually a big deal in the early 60s, he went back home like a lot of people did, and he succeeded. He excelled as a high school coach at St. Anthony. And then he took, I think, what at the time was a near impossible job. It was like asking to fail at Georgetown. They had been to a Final Four, but that was around World War II when the tournament field was 8 and the tournament was 5 years old. So I think they went from 3-23 to the NCAA tournament within 4 years. And not only did he succeed on the court at Georgetown, he turned around the lives of a lot of kids from the inner cities. He gave these kids a way out, and those who didn't play in the NBA, like the Patrick Ewings, like the Sleepy Floyds, left with Georgetown degrees. 97%, Tony, of the players who stayed 4 years under John Thompson received their degree from Georgetown, and Georgetown is a pretty good school.
Yeah, it is. You're right. He was also a guy that, I mean, you can always do this when a figure passes away who had influence. You could say right guy at the right time. Here was a guy that was going to Georgetown. Georgetown becomes this sort of cultural presence. It becomes one of the hottest gears to have as a kid. It becomes one of the more popular teams in all of sports. And he knows the arrows are coming for his players because that's just the way it is. And he has to have the fortitude to stand up against those arrows that are coming at his kids.
Yes, and there was the famous story that if it weren't true, it would be legend, where he spoke to a drug dealer who was associating himself with Alonzo Mourning and told him to get the heck, or, well, that's all we can say here, but get the heck away from one of my players. And as John Thompson once said when receiving an award, he said, I speak two languages, English and profanity. But he said, you know, stay away. And he had the power, he had the cachet to do so. And I think that he wasn't just, as we talk about someone who won a national championship at Georgetown, you look at a lot of programs and coaches and the like, it's tough to imagine Duke without Mike Krzyzewski, but they went to a Final Four within 5 years before Krzyzewski arrived on campus. Georgetown was nothing before John Thompson arrived on campus. And that is something that you can't discount. But you also can't discount his social mission. Boycotting some games in the late 1980s in protest of Prop 48, which was an offshoot of actually it was Prop 42, which was an offshoot of Prop 48, because he felt that the SAT was racially biased. He didn't say it was racially biased, but he said that basically you're taking scholarships away from kids who need them. And so, you know, that at a time when every game in the Big East was do or die, and when it was the best league in men's college basketball, to basically say I'm not going to be on the bench for a couple of these games sounds like suicide. But you know what? He did it, and he stood by his beliefs, and he made his point.
I was bringing up the example this morning of when he went to the Palestra, and there were those racist signs directed at Patrick Ewing, you know, calling him illiterate, calling him an ape. And Thompson wouldn't go on the court until those banners were removed. It's easy, and I was saying this earlier. Look, today, in today's culture, we all would, you know, we would all stand for the removal of those signs and all stand for the, you know, support a coach who would do that. 1983, it's a totally different world. It's a different atmosphere. He is going to take the criticism for not going on the court, but he's standing by his star player. That wasn't easy to do in 83.
No, and 1983, it is in a different century. In college basketball, it was a completely different world. You think of today, AAU ball, Twitter and social media, constant media 24/7. Back in the day, it took a while for stories to get out. And Coach Thompson kept a tight rein on his players from the standpoint of he didn't let first-semester freshmen speak to the media because he wanted them to get comfortable on campus. He limited access to players because he felt that it wasn't the player's job to talk to the media and that he would handle the message. And you see a lot of other coaches over the years have handled that in different ways, from Nick Saban not allowing coordinators to speak or things along those lines. But here's a guy who built the program. Here's a guy who was very proud. He could look at himself in the mirror every day and say that he didn't back down to social pressures. He could look at himself in the mirror and say that he made the lives of all of the kids on his team and a lot of the people in the community better by standing what he believed in. And again, he gave us some great basketball in the 1980s. Hoya Paranoia. There's a generation of kids who grew up in the Northeast, and I hate the New Hampshire College Penmen had not taken off under Stan Spiro in 1985. But if you grew up in the Northeast, there were so many Georgetown fans.
Absolutely.
BC was not, they didn't have the sticking power that the Hoyas did. And Patrick Ewing, that was the first team that I remember watching and really get into and really rooting for when I was a kid. And they were so much fun to watch, and the Big East was such a great conference to first follow as a fan and then cover as a member of the media. And a lot of that goes to the credit of John Thompson in building an excellent program with impeccable credentials in Georgetown.
I would be remiss to not ask you, as a Syracuse guy, this rivalry that he had with Boeheim and the Orange. I mean, go back to 1980, Manly Fieldhouse officially closed. I mean, it's become one of the more famous Big East lines of the not only the rivalry but of the conference. But that was a big deal. I mean, that was not just a local Big East deal. That became a national rivalry that people looked forward to around the country. A lot of it because of the ESPN relationship that the conference had. But this was a real deal.
And you talk about the change in college athletics, and for all the tradition that we talk about in college sports, it's always changing, from new playoff formats for football to new conferences in every other sport. And could you just imagine at the time in the late 70s, they're telling Jim Boeheim, hey, listen, we're going to stop playing home and homes with Colgate and St. Bonaventure and Siena. And you're going to play home and homes with this small Jesuit school in Northwest Washington, D.C. You're also going to move your games into a football stadium, and you're going to play in Landover, Maryland when you go
right
down there. And, and it's going to be the rivalry of the decade. And I mean, that just goes to show that we don't know. We don't know what the future holds. And, but for 10 years, that was probably, you could make the case that that was Duke Carolina, in a way that Duke Carolina was not in the 1980s, because Syracuse and Georgetown were two programs at the peak of their powers And granted, SG won a national championship in 2003. But for those who followed, those were the salad days of the Big East Conference. And you couldn't have a classic showdown without somebody wearing the black hat, somebody being the villain. For Syracuse fans, it was John Thompson, 6'10" with the towel over his shoulder. For Georgetown fans, it was Jim Boeheim allegedly whining. I think it was a sinus thing, but it made for great basketball. And the two never hated each other, but the two were always trying to beat the other in such a manner that once Thompson retired, he wound up doing games for Westwood One over the years, as well as TNT and CBS. They became friends, and then all of a sudden, Jim Boeheim went from coaching against John Thompson to coaching against his number one assistant to coaching against his number one son to now coaching against his number one player in Patrick Ewing.
Unbelievable. I need to ask you about the Washington football team, Dan Snyder. What's going on there with the NFL and its investigation into those allegations?
It's not good. What is happening now is, I guess, the NFL is taking charge of the investigation, and the owner, Dan Snyder, is now saying that he has asked for that to happen. So it's one thing to run a team that consistently finishes in last place. It's another in the 21st century to have a franchise in this business world where there is rampant harassment and being inappropriate. And what may have gotten away in the days of Don Draper and Roger Sterling does not get away in 2020. And so there's going to be a microscope on this franchise. The thing is, I think the other 31 owners, I don't think any owner wants to make it easy to be removed. And so all the owners who may have a skeleton or two in their closet is thinking, okay, if it's relatively easy for the avenues to remove this owner, what is to stop something, a situation from me getting, bumped or something along those lines in the future? Because there are some really good owners in the NFL. There are some owners who have less than ideal personal histories, like there is in any walk of life. And
yeah,
I think,
that's right.
There are only 32 teams. So this has been a 20-plus year extravaganza of bad football, of bad public relations. And now it looks as though that there's a bad culture inside this building. And so I think there's going to be a long, hard look at what happens during this investigation, and who knows how long these investigations take.
Dave, always good stuff, man. I really appreciate it as always, my friend. Take care. We're going to catch up with you as soon as the football season kicks off.
Looking forward to it, Tony.
You got it. Dave Preston, the WTOP in D.C. on John Thompson, and a little bit on the Washington football team. Quote, buy and save on home insurance with Progressive's new Home Quote Explorer, only at progressive.com. Tony D., Ron Culver, as we continue with Wake Up Call, Sports Map Radio.
This is Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Joining us here on Wake Up Call as we continue along, don't forget BetUS.com. That is the best in the business. Why? Because they're the pioneer in online betting with more than 25 years of experience in the biz, and you get a sportsbook with integrity and longevity, and you're going to get paid. Sportsbook that offers everything that includes live betting, MMA, golf, horses, esports, all kinds of crazy bets. So call today, 1-800-MY-BET-US. That's 1-800-MY-BET-US. They'll walk you through the getting started. Nobody in the industry gives bigger bonuses than BetUS because right now they got a great deal. Mention Sports Map Radio, and you can get up to 150% in bonuses. bonuses on your first deposit. Nobody beats that. 25 years in the biz, the best bonuses. BetUS should be your sportsbook. Join today. 1-800-MY-BETUS or go to betus.com. That's betus.com. And remember, mention Sports Map Radio to get that bonus. We talked, again, a lot of talk about John Thompson, but the touch on the Redskins. Dave hit something that Ron and I have been saying. We've been saying this for a while. When you talk as fans about the league should get rid of an owner, and it's easy to do with some owners, some for the crime of just not putting a competitive team on the field, some even more egregious, like when Donald Sterling was making racist comments on a phone call. It doesn't matter where you're at. Everybody has wanted the league to step in and get rid of a crappy owner, right? But it is really hard to do. You're not talking about somebody who's employed. You're talking about somebody who owns.
Yep.
And that's the biggest difference. And again, as Dave mentioned, and we've said this before, when other owners are up, when it's up to other owners to determine your fate, they see themselves in the situation. It may not be the exact situation. They may not have done what you've done, but they wonder where the slippery slope goes.
Or just imagine if you don't like a restaurant, you don't like a business of whatever the case might be, just imagine going in there and trying to convince someone to say, hey, you should buy this.
Right.
Remove this guy. I mean, you didn't even know who's going to buy the restaurant. Just like, this guy needs to sell his business.
Yep. And we're seeing it all the time with Dan Snyder.
It.
Yeah. It's very hard to do. Snyder's
but this
not,
one, I don't... This
it's
one,
hard.
This is closer than I've ever seen it for something that wasn't obvious, like racism.
I agree. I got it at 50-50 that Snyder won't be the owner in down the road. It's that close. But it's close.